The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
After 5 o'clock, and the Rockies have a chance to win it in the 10th. Oh, of course there was a runner on. What am I talking about? That was the first pitch. My bad.
It was
my bad. Right, my bad. Sorry. I love that rule, too. They're getting rid of it next year, but I actually love it. So that was the first pitch that Gilbreth actually threw. Because we start with a runner on second and 10. Well, you know, see what the Rockies. Maybe they can figure it out. Wow. Nice play. All right. So they're down two going in the bottom of the 10th. And, you know, the Avalanche had the opening to their training camp today, which was cool to be down at. The Nuggets are getting going with their training camp. And we're hearing about, you know, Nikola Jokic being a horseman, which is, you know, great. The Broncos were showing off food, by the way, down at the stadium. I understand Denver 7 is, you guys were all over that. Is that right? You guys were going to see exclusive coverage on Denver 7 tonight about food?
It will not be exclusive because there are certainly other stations. I usually make that event. Free food?
Oh, my God. Really? You squeeze that in somehow?
Yes. Just like my shirt, I squeeze into it. Because it's free food. I was planning on making it, and I got a call. Hey, are you available to do radio with DMACC? I'm like, who? Never heard of him. So then I get a call back from the same number. No, so anyway, I had a chance to do radio with you. You know I love that. And so that's why I couldn't make it. And we sent a news crew down.
Good. They take food back to the... That's always the embarrassing part. When you're at something that has free food, how much of a disgrace as a human being will you become by taking the extra food available? Like, how much will you pilfer for your supposed other family members, or what are you going to walk away with? That's always the question.
I try to take a few cookies. I mean, I'm not Dan Aykroyd stuffing pieces of veal in my Santa Claus suit. I'm not doing that, but you take a cookie. You might take a cookie.
What was he going to do with that whole, like, raw salmon from Trading Places? What was he doing with veal in his Santa Claus suit? It was just him and the hooker. I mean, what were they going to eat? Was he that hungry? Was it really a problem? It looks like he was doing all right at her place. I am proudly sporting the Pedal with Palumbus bike shirt. We have the t-shirts, too, but I got the bike shirt on. And that event is on Saturday. You can contribute to denverfan.com. So we're thinking about Tyler. And he'll be back tomorrow, and I'm proudly wearing that and supporting Pedal with Palumbus that's happening in just a couple days. The amount of work that Tyler's put into this project is, talk about yeoman's work. The dude is, what a rock star in terms of what he's personally put into it. And so we're all, Tyler, great guy, and can't wait to get this event going on Saturday.
Fantastic. Tyler, it's an emotional event for Tyler,
yeah.
And I'm so happy you guys are involved, because I knew when it first jumped, kind of sprouted, and now to look what it's becoming.
Hey, by the way, that's a good little story for Denver 7. I know you
we did it last year.
Well, this is a good story this year.
And I told them to do it again this year.
Yeah, well, you should tell them again.
I did.
Because, I mean, I know we're covering bratwurst down at the stadium, but, you know, there's other things. Actually, today we were all over the place. Everybody was. The crazy part about today, here's what was fun about today. Talk about actually a sport nut paradise, really. I mean, how lucky to be doing what we do. So the Avs are skating. First of all, you can go get a COVID test down at the Broncos starting at 8 a.m. That's a lot of fun. That's an enjoyable thing to do. So we start there.
Yeah, I consider that my biggest victory of the season so far, a negative COVID test after being in Florida for 2.5 days.
The 8:45. Hello. We get going with Avalanche practice. But it's all free. It's at Family Sports, which is, you know, what, 5 minutes from the Broncos facility?
Round the corner.
So you get to watch the hockey guys go around, and Nathan McKinnon takes one to the chin, and he's bleeding all over the place, and then he gets stitched up because he's a freaking hockey player from, like, Nova Scotia. Huh? Yeah, Nova Scotia. Get down, ball. Damn. That was Do not get doubled off.
That was an absolute can of corn. They've had a guy there for 100 years. Look at you begging for hits. You're an embarrassment.
Tapia at third, one out. Who hit that? Was that
McMahon?
Oh, not quite as good as Nolan.
It just seems like Nolan didn't get
that. That should have been a gapper. Look at that. Oh, he laced that. Oh, Mookie Betts is fast. All right, we got CJ Cron. All he does is he's the MVP of every softball league you can imagine.
So you go down. You go down to.
Go down to the abs. The abs bad blood. Stitch him up.
Do you think he stayed in there? And I'm sure I'm reading way too much into this. And I don't cover the abs on the regular. When I'm anchoring in the spring, I do. Do you think he stayed out there just because of the perception of how last season ended?
No.
Just making sure. Or is it just because he's a hockey guy?
Hockey guys
are the best.
They don't care about that.
I used to love Mike Ricci. His nose was so crooked. It was crooked in spots that don't even make sense for a nose. Long black hair, and he was just funny, hilarious, and...
His nose was more crooked than what? There you go. Come on now, Troy.
That would be Madoff. That's easy.
It's more crooked than Madoff. There you go.
He was fantastic. But he just... Okay, so Nate the Great is just a hockey player. I'm confusing like
they don't
three
even
guys.
Think about it. I got cut. Stitch me up. I'm back on. I don't know if he missed a drill. I mean, it's just nothing. Who cares?
Bentley the Bulldog, my puppy, bit me so hard today. I was gushing blood. Of course, we don't have Band-Aids at home. So I had to use a combination of scotch tape and duct tape to just put it around my finger until it stopped bleeding.
Well, I mean, it's duct tape.
But that's just me. That's just how tough I am.
Tough guy. Should we all share? You don't have to give me the middle finger.
Yeah, that's where I got cut. I'm not a tough guy, but I just had to stop the bleeding.
Then we go down to the Broncos. My funniest part of the Broncos today, let's see what we got here, is Vic Fangio's a cheapskate. Where is, I got to go over here. Vic Fangio, so the Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, was a quality control coach with Fangio with the Niners?
Texans.
All right, sorry. I mean.
Long time ago, 05.
Okay. And so he said on a call today that, you know, you go out to lunch with Vic, he doesn't talk.
I asked him about how their personalities are so different and how did you connect. And he said, you know, Vic's just authentic. But he says the first time I went out to dinner with him, I think he's having a terrible time. He just says two words to me the whole time. And I'm like, God, this guy, he's just, you know, this is awful. And then he gets up and says, this was great. We got to do it again sometime. Do what? And so I brought that up to Vic today. Hey, Robert Saleh said he got to know you over dinner, said you're authentic. Do you remember this dinner?
And?
No. I doubt I had dinner. If I had dinner with him, it would have been in the team cafeteria. Because if I had dinner with a young coach, that means I would have had to pay, and I don't want to do that.
And then he was asked, well, do you pay now? And he shook his head no. So Donatell, because now it's like this whole relationship between Fangio and Donatell.
Donatell's the voice in Vic's head, in case you don't know. In every way imaginable, he's like the voice in Vic's head.
And yesterday, Fangio did explain, well, we've been together for 11 years, and you know he knows what I'm thinking before I think. We have this unspoken communication to the degree the other assistants don't know what the hell's going on.
I'm an identical twin, so I could know exactly what he's talking about. So
you and your brother can telepathically communicate?
Yeah. One time in French class, we pretended to have telepathy, and it was a card game where you had to like guess what they was a charades. Wait, what is someone drawing? I had slipped the card to my brother before the game, so I drew one line on the thing, and he screamed out, "Burnt pot roast!" So from that moment on, we were telepathic twins. It was the funniest thing ever. But anyway, I can understand.
Well, but hold on, what is burnt pot roast in French?
I know how to say Je m'appelle Troy, my name is.
I know how to say L'oiseau est soif.
That means you eat fish?
That means the bird is thirsty.
Dang, so close.
So Donatell's asked, like, well, what's it like with, assistant coaches with Vic? I mean, do they know what the hell's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it takes time, you know, because he's not an extremely outgoing guy and so forth. And he's got to size you up, and you got to produce around him to get his respect, you know. But you won't find a guy that's more direct and honest, and that's a really good situation to work on.
Yeah, but you don't know what the hell the guy's thinking because he doesn't talk to you. He's walking around. He doesn't talk to you. We found out this week, too, that he barely talks to Teddy Bridgewater except if he sees him in the hall. It's like a quick, hey, how you doing? There's no sit-down meeting. There's no discussion. And then Donatell was asked, well, do people ask you, you know, does Vic like me?
No, not really. Next question.
that, That's why you guys were all laughing. There's Mark Rasm. The groundskeeper's coming into play here in this controversial 10th inning as the Dodgers pitcher's pawing at the mound as if he needs somebody from Home Depot to come over here and do some reconstruction work on the mound. Just pitch the ball, you big baby.
Yeah, by the way, here we go. Right here.
At least this guy throws
a man. First and third, 2-0 count, one out, winning run at the plate. Softball legend CJ Cron, all he does is mash. I wouldn't want to throw to him either. I'd be looking around. I'd be nervous.
Weren't you surprised at Donatel's response to that?
Yeah, I was.
It was odd. Did you laugh? I was over
there. I did laugh.
I was interviewing Javonte Williams around the side of the building, and I heard the laugh, and then I'm like, I wonder what that was. And then when I got here today to talk to you to do some pre-show.
It was
No, not really. Next question.
I mean, it was hardly, I think it was actually said sort of in jest. As Cron hits into a double play to end the game.
Wow, that stinks. That's a bad loss.
Oh, my God.
That was a nice turn,
by the way, but.
The kind of loss.
Look at Kershaw. Yeah, look how we won this game. Yeah, we didn't deserve this one. Didn't think we were going to get this one. Hey, high five, Bueller.
Euler's brother goes to see you.
That's...
He played at Valor.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, his brother played high school baseball at Valor. I talked to Bueller at the All-Star game, and he said, yeah, he's not playing anymore. He's just hanging out at CU, doing his thing at CU. And
you know what?
That was so deep.
That was pathetic right there. Was that a 2-0 pitch?
A 2-0 pitch. He rolled over.
On a 2-0 pitch.
I didn't roll over. He just hit it to second.
On a 2-0 pitch.
Dude, the guy throws 100, and the ball sinks like a bowling ball off a
picnic
table.
Don't swing. It's 2-0. Well, I mean, I would swing. I'd just, whatever. What would I do? I would do nothing. Well, what could I possibly do?
You'd be like Richie in Benchwarmers. You'd be jumping in front of it. It hit me. My arm. Oh, my elbow. My elbow.
And you're 2-0. I mean, 2-0, though.
It would hit your elbow, and your elbow would shatter. It might go through you. We could fax you to the pedal to Columbus tomorrow if you get any thinner.
I didn't lose weight in my elbow.
I like Svelte D-Mac.
You know, maybe I did.
I like Svelte D-Mac.
Yeah.
He was saucier.
Rockies lose. That is a big win for the Dodgers, by the way.
No, that's, not kidding.
That's, I mean, they're down. They were down 5-3. Tapia hit a 3-run homer to put up the Rockies up by 2 in the 8th. They're, you know, they scrapped for one, then they scrapped for one with 2 outs. You scrap for a run with 2 outs in the top of the 9th. You hang on in the bottom. You turn a double play with a runner on third and one out. You're a good damn team. You're championship quality to win a crap game like that right there. When it matters the most. That's a game 9 out of 10 times. Most teams lose, and the Dodgers won it.
Yeah, they're a deep team. Their offense has stunk in the second half of the season, but not today. Muncy hasn't played well, really, for a month as in terms of hitting. That's why they don't want to get in that one-game playoff. Their offense has been really sporadic the last month. Even with Max Scherzer, Scherzer allowed more earned runs today in the start against the Rockies than I think he had in all his starts combined.
Hey, technically,
Dodgers.
Based on how many Dodgers fans were there, if the Rockies had won the game, would it have counted as a road win? It's a rim shot, Kevin. I
like where your head's at.
Okay. All right. Your biggest takeaways from today with the Broncos are what when it comes to the Jets? Where's your head at with this game with the Jets?
Zach Wilson's in trouble. They've allowed 10 sacks. We look back at how Drew Lock struggled at times with his footwork and throwing off balance and his shoulder opening. I mean, I saw a lot of that from Zach Wilson, and he has elite arm talent. He has 5 picks in 2 games. That's the second most through 2 games. Manning has the record at 6.
Right.
But he's been sacked 10 times. I don't think he's ever experienced anything like he's going to hear in this noise in this crowd. This crowd is going to be
Boy, that's been a big
fire.
Topic, hasn't it?
I think it's part because, I mean, it's obviously related to COVID-19 and they only had a crowds at what, like 3 or 4 games last year, and it was just minimal. And the team's good. Like, the reason you're feeling, because I too thought, man, kind of overplaying this crowd angle when you grew up watching the Broncos. I mean, the crowd was always there, but it's just 5 years without playoffs, 4 straight losing seasons, and finally it feels like the blinker's on and they're turning the corner. They're 2-0. Their quarterback's playing out of his mind. They're coming home to play a Jets team that's just god-awful. and they're playing a rookie quarterback. I mean, it just sets up as one of those games you should win 27-10, 24-0. I mean, so my takeaway is Zach Wilson's in trouble.
The Jets have, all right, but the defense is good. The Jets do have a good defense. The problem is, even with the best of defenses, the great defense, everybody gets tired eventually. And if your offense just sucks and you're leaving your defense, you're hanging them out to dry, Troy. And that is what happened in that Patriots-Jets game. I mean, Zach Wilson had thrown three interceptions in the first quarter and a half or so. They should have been down 20, but it was only 10-3. It was actually a pretty close game, and it was kind of within reach. And then Zach Wilson said, well, this is too close, and he threw a fourth interception in the second half.
He didn't at one point he had three picks in his first five passes.
Yeah, it was like that.
That feels like a lot.
It was something like that. I think, it was like three out of six. It was something like that. It was ridiculous.
He has five picks in two games. Aaron Rodgers had five picks last season in 526 attempts. That's where that discrepancy between quarterback play really shows up in the NFL. When you have high-level Teddy, no picks, four touchdowns, he's playing at a high level. And you watched Trevor Lawrence last week. Lawrence, after the first drive, Trevor Lawrence, generational talent. I learned when I was in Jacksonville, his hair is water repellent. When it started raining, no issue with him. 5 of 7, 73 yards, touchdown, first drive. I'm like, this is it. This reminds me of Justin Herbert that looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
His next, from that first drive on, D-Mac, 9 for 26.
Jeez.
That's what Osweiler was that night in Pittsburgh.
Why do you think, when you looked at that, why do you think the big adjustment? Why do you think all of a sudden the wheels fell off?
They got a little predictable. They didn't run the ball. There was no balance.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have balance for a young quarterback, and Fangio started disguising things and confusing him, but they had no balance.
Simmons was interesting this week when asked, like, how do you mess with rookie quarterbacks, basically? You just disguise stuff, and they fall for it.
It's like bunkers in golf, like bad, where the ball ends up.
So,
bad
by the way, Broncos fans, stop freaking out in the first half.
Or first quarter, for sure.
Oh, my God, with the Broncos fans freaking out early in the game. Understand something, especially against these rookie quarterbacks. The Broncos are showing something that they may or may not do a little bit later on to mess with the rookie quarterback. And the game's not over until it's over. Newsflash. You got more time left.
In defense of the Broncos' first drive, and I hate making excuses, the call on Kyle Fuller was complete BS that extended that drive.
The
guy just ran up to Fuller and pushed him down, and they called a legal contact on Fuller, and then he got beat for a touchdown, which was a great pass.
Yeah, do you think Fangio gets fined for that, by the way he spoke out about it today?
I don't know. That was a terrible call.
Well, I mean, Fangio actually said that.
Yeah, he said
that. That's very unusual.
I'm with him on that. But
he could some money could come out of his pocket. We know how he is with money.
I was going to say, if money comes out of his pocket for that.
Right, Donatello?
No assistants are eating for the rest of the season.
I mean, you don't want to mess with Fangio's money.
It's top ramen for all.
Noodles out of the vending machine.
I was thinking that. I know where Kevin's head was. I saw that.
It's not Kevin digging into a bowl. He's got noodles out of the vending machine. It's got noodles that were placed there last February. I mean, how long does it take to run out of noodles? How many people are going for the vending machine noodles? I'm going to guess that's been there for a while, Kevin.
They were good.
But I know it would survive a nuclear blast, so you'd be fine.
The thing about those noodles that's great is that if we had to...
Vending machine noodles?
Yes.
If
we had to exit the building in case of fire, we could have tied them together as a rope and made our way down.
How hungry do you got to be to go for the vending machine noodles?
It's the same level of hunger that you have... gas station sushi.
Wait. I know the hot dogs and the roll of what gas station has sushi?
These pseudo supermarket gas stations now?
Which one has sushi? I know what you're talking about. Seriously, which one has sushi?
It hasn't been in Colorado.
Where do you stop on your drive from Dove Valley to Longmont?
No. This is when I've been out of town. This is what I've been traveling, mainly in baseball on the West Coast.
Okay. All right.
So you stop all at their right, version of a loaf and jug, and they do have sushi.
I'll give you the really. We're getting head nods. We got sushi. Okay, all right.
But I will say I've eaten gas station sushi. It's been California roll, nothing with fish in it. So it's just if it's poison, I'm going to die by cucumber or carrot.
Did you think you were eating something healthy when you were getting the gas station sushi? Like, I mean, this isn't a it's. It's not a corn dog that's been rolling around on a roller for 9 hours, I guess.
Yeah, my body's a temple. So I keep track, like Vaughn, I keep track of everything that goes into my body, both mentally and physically. So not only did I know what I was eating, I knew the caloric intake. No, I didn't know. It was just between that and what you've said. Like some hot dog that looks like that a skunk had burped out. It's that or the sushi. So it's like I die by old fish and rice, sticky rice, or I eat that hot dog. I haven't had a hot dog in, I think, 13 months. Whenever the Broncos had a preseason game in Seattle the last time, I was hanging out talking to Kenny Mayne about this cool project he does with Wounded Warriors and a project he does. And I ate a hot dog in Seattle, and I still have nightmares about that stomachache. I was like Babe Ruth missed a half a season because of the great stomachache. I ate a hot dog from the press box in Seattle. It might as well have been a stick of dynamite. I haven't eaten a hot dog since. I haven't eaten a hot dog since. But so I had gas station sushi because the choice was roller hot dog that I'm sure had celebrated a birthday.
Dude, I think I'd have to go with roller hot dog over gas station sushi. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe a California roll because, I mean, gas station sushi that's actually fish. I mean,
I did go California roll, in fairness to the story, which is carrot, cucumber.
Right. All right. I guess that's relatively safe. But I'm going to assume there were other gas station sushi options with actual elements of fish in there.
I did not choose. There were.
Fangio about Fuller's penalty.
Yeah, the penalty on Kyle Fuller was a really bad call.
Okay. That's $15,000, coach.
No assistant coaches eat the rest of the year.
Let me ask you, dude. Wait, all right. Do coaches still get fined for ripping on officials? I thought that was a thing. I thought you did get fined for that.
I know in the NBA you do, 100%.
Do they not in the NFL?
I don't know. You guys have to look it up because Fangio very rarely says anything critical of No, we haven't had a coach here that's been critical of the refs in that way in so long. I can't remember.
Yeah, the penalty on Kyle Fuller was a really bad call.
What do you think about that, Ed?
No, not really. Next question.
Okay.
That was a strange response.
Corey Davis does have no hops. I don't have it queued up, though. Is it on the other thing? I know. I'd have to go through the entire thing. I know. All right, listen, coming up, we got Nathan MacKinnon getting hit in the face. We'll hear from him. The Avalanche have a player on the team that has a very unusual personality for his position. So I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but apparently it's a big deal. Plus, Gabe Landeskog does talk about how much it hurt to lose to, the team that lost to the team that lost to the team that lost to the team. It would have been better if the team they lost to at least won the whole thing, but no, they lost to the team that lost to the team that lost to the team. Okay, that's next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and DMAC on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Mount Palumbus Speak is powered by 5280 Exteriors. And Tyler will be back tomorrow. Troy Rank is nice enough to fill in. Name the band. Turn it up a little bit, Kevin. Oh, come on.
Sounds like Van Halen.
Of course.
What
Sammy,
song is
Sammy
this?
Or Eddie?
Sounds like this would be. You mean Sammy or David?
This would be Sammy and David.
This
sorry.
Would be David.
This is not David. This is Sammy.
But when they went to Sammy, they lost the guitar. They were still doing the synthesizer.
Well, they went back to the guitars a little bit. I don't know how much. Is it over now? Unfortunately.
Yeah, that was definitely Sammy. Sammy could sing. David was a showman. David couldn't sing. Yeah. Sammy could sing.
All right, we got Troy here. We were just speculating if...
Yeah, the penalty on Kyle Fuller was a really bad call.
If he'll get fined for that. We'll see. Arnie Stapleton from AP, is that what?
Friend Arnie Stapleton of Associated Press texted me during the break and said that they do fine them, but he said they still fine NFL coaches, but they hardly ever confirm it publicly, like when we find out that players have been fined.
So he'd have to ask about it.
So someone would have to ask about it. But there's a chance, based on his bluntness there, that he gets fined for that. He's right. I'll say that. The receiver just ran up to Kyle Fuller and pushed him down, and they called Kyle Fuller for illegal contact.
Let's go through some other stuff here today. Nathan MacKinnon got hit in the face with a puck, bled, got stitched, finished the practice.
Yeah, puck in the face, a couple stitches, all good though. Yeah, tough way to start camp, but it's all good. Goal is tied down.
Puck in the face, couple stitches, no big deal. Just went back. You know. Garrett Bowles, get ready, Kevin. Garrett Bowles heard that Nathan MacKinnon got hit in the face and called a cart for himself.
That joke's so 2017.
What else? Darcy Kuemper is the happiest goalie of all time. And I was sitting next to my guy, Terry Fry, and he said goalies are this. That's the most personality we've had in a goalkeeper in Colorado since Craig Billington. Goalies are generally miserable. They're weird people who are weird and dour and strange.
Because you take pucks at 120 miles per hour to your face.
I'm at Avs training camp realizing what a miserable job it is to be a goalkeeper. They have two sessions and three goalies. The goalies go to both sessions. They just stop pucks for an hour and a half straight. They take a half hour break, and then they stop pucks for another hour and a half, and that's goalie practice. It sucks. Being a goalie is in a strange place, so your head's probably in a strange place. Darcy Kuemper is like a regular person. So we got a regular upgrade, too, I've been told. Upgrade.
But is it upgrade over who we saw last season?
Upgrade over Groovy. Upgrade.
I got to see that.
Upgrade.
It's an upgrade over Groovy, maybe the previous.
Groovy. He could have been Groovy, but
I call him Groovy or MacGruber.
Groovy.
He was really good last year.
Upgrade. I've heard Darcy's an upgrade.
Darcy was not better than him last year.
I'm told it's an upgrade. I'll tell you this. He's tall. 6'4" goalie. 6'4" goalie.
Is this like upgrade?
How do you actually become a 6'4" goalie? Like where do you? I guess you're just a goalie and you go through a crazy growth spurt and you just can't help it. And you don't know you're going to be 6'4". There's nobody in their right mind who's 6'4" would be a goalie.
Is this like upgrade? Like Walker Hayes, fancy like going to Applebee's instead of dipping your fries in the Frosty? Like you're taking the upgrade and going to Applebee's upgrade?
I was told it's an upgrade.
I think you're getting some bad intel,
dude. I just keep my mouth shut around the hockey guys, okay? You think I'm making this stuff up? The two people I trust about hockey information are like Mike Chambers, anybody with a Canadian accent, and my kid. Other than that, I'm shutting my trap. And Dater, yeah, sure. I actually didn't see Dater today. I don't know where Dater was. He was there, but he I don't know. I didn't see him. Who knows? The COVID rules are so quirky now. You just don't know what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it. So we're watching the Avs practice. Nobody has a mask on, really. And we're inside. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, okay. You know, I'm vaccinated. I don't have a mask. Well, I guess I don't need it.
Did you have to have proof of vaccination to cover the
workout? I don't know. But
Broncos, we did. That's why I asked.
Right.
That's outdoors.
Right. And then we go into the room to talk to the player. Everybody's going to, now we all got to wear a mask.
That's how it is in the Broncos. You cover the game in the press box. Depending on the municipality and what their rules are, we haven't had to have a mask on in the press box, but during the press conference afterward, downstairs, all mask on, which is fine. It's whatever. But like you said, it is a little quirky.
Let me give you Landeskog. I know the audio is a little sketchy, but this is Landeskog talking about how last year really ticked him off.
If you don't win that last game of the season, you're going to be pissed off and you're going to be motivated to come back better. And obviously the way we lost against Vegas in the second round obviously stinks. And there's a lot for us to still learn and get better at. Bottom line, we're not going into camp thinking about what we're going to do in round two coming up in the spring. We're thinking about, you know, building and getting better and working every day.
Yeah, see, this is interesting because the Avalanche, who were a championship quality team, they got to do it all over again. The Nuggets got to do it all over again. It's a different vibe over there with the Broncos, to just keep it real. Like, at the Broncos, it feels like there's so much energy and positive enthusiasm because it's the building towards it. It's not the exhaustion of we just went through and now we got to do it again. That's tiring. That's exhausting. That's draining. The Broncos have been so bad for so long. The vibe around there, and it's the world of suck to get there, but the vibe around there is really, really super positive. It's like, this is exciting. We're doing something we haven't done in a while. We're fired up. Whereas just over with the Avalanche today, as good as they are, and they're terrific, it is daunting what they have to go through.
The Avs are where the Broncos were when Andrew Luck knocked out Peyton Manning in the playoffs that year, where you're like, are you kidding me?
You got to be right.
And that's how that loss to the Knights felt to me. Like, really? They're going out now? After this regular season?
Right.
Like you said, if you lose in the finals or the conference finals, that's a bad break, game seven. But you got knocked out before the conference finals, and you were the best team.
So let's talk about it. What was the big difference after that Indy loss? Come on now. What was the big difference?
They added. Was that DeMarcus?
Hold on. After that Indy loss, they got rid of John Fox.
Oh, they fired the coach. Yeah.
Fired. Well, it's mutual.
Mutual parting of the ways.
You buy that?
No.
I talked to Foxy. He said he had enough. He says.
I believe that, but I believe they had enough of him, too.
Well, no, I don't disagree with you.
And I like Foxy. I'm just saying they almost fired him after the Super Bowl loss. Elway.
They did.
So the idea that he was going to somehow stay after that loss to the Colts, they were so mad because they felt like Del Rio had one foot out the door. Mm-hmm. They felt Fox had one foot out the door. And yeah, it was a bad vibe. It was a bad vibe. But you're right. They bring in Kubiak, who was, it's just like TJ Ward explained it to me. It's just like this gumbo mix. And sometimes you put the piece, you know, this recipe together and you stir it and you're like, you take a bite. He's like, immediately they knew as this mix was developing, like Kubiak was the right voice at the right time.
Let me give you because all four teams, this is a quirky day. It's a great day in Colorado. All four of the major teams, not to disparage the Rapids, love the Rapids, but hockey, baseball, Troy, it's powered by 5280 Exteriors. Here's my question. Troy Palumbus speak. Troy Palumbus, rank the teams in terms of degree of optimism for what's to come. 4-3-2-1. Optimism for what's to come.
That's a good question. I would say the Rockies are easily fourth.
Yeah.
They got no chance.
Right.
I mean, and they're in their division that's not going to get any easier anytime soon. So they're four.
Yeah.
And their GM may be the guy that's been there for like 72 years. So there's no infusion of fresh ideas.
All right, we get it.
They're four.
Rocky's four.
So three is where it gets interesting then at that point. For me, I would say, based on the two teams I watch, I would still say it's the Nuggets because I don't know how they get out of the Western Conference.
Okay.
I don't know how they do it.
All right, two.
Two would be the Avs. While it is, when you take the wider lens, it's a bit depressing given how these last two seasons have ended. You know, from a talent perspective, you could be the best team in the league.
And number one would be the Broncos.
The Broncos are optimistic.
How about that?
But that's what happens when you've had
no expectations. And
like,
you're 2-0.
And you're 2-0.
You're going to have a sold-out crowd.
And you have a quarterback who looks functional.
And they have brand-new bratwurst or some new food items and handless checkout.
I mean, what else would you want? And you're playing the Jets.
This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at Six.
How about six? Six is good.
Troy Rankin for Tyler. Tyler will be back tomorrow. Thursday Night Football comes up in a little bit. The Jets are on tap. Troy, is the Jets the most winnable game of the entire season for the Denver Broncos when you factor in everything? Broncos 2-0, home opener, weather's supposed to be great. Jets 0-2, third professional start for Zach Wilson, who has a groin. Is it the most winnable game of the year?
Yes.
Easiest game of the year.
Easiest game of the year because it's at home. The Jacksonville game was right there. Because Jacksonville's lost 16 of the last 17 games. I think 16 straight. Nobody works harder. Nobody works harder than Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think Jaguars have lost 17 straight.
Is it 17 straight?
Well, they won their first game of last year.
And they're 1-15. So you're right. They've lost two straight.
Yeah.
17 straight.
Yeah.
But the Jets, because it's at home, Broncos country is going to be on fire. There's real hope around this team because of the 2-0 record. Again, it was against crappy teams, but it's 2-0. And Teddy Bridgewater's playing out of his mind. The defense, even with injuries, looks stout. This is the most winnable game on the schedule.
Ring it, Kevin. You got to just come up with something. Anything. Come up with anything. You can ask me about gas station sushi. Seriously. Just something in DMAC. Anything.
Javonte Williams,
there you go,
and Melvin Gordon have split carries 50-50.
Yes.
Even Steven.
Yes, they have.
That is truly even Steven, Vic Mangio. Even Steven was actually from a book in the 1700s. I looked it up. And his name wasn't Even. It was Steven in the book. Do you anticipate that continuing? And for how long will we see this mutual sharing of the position? Or does Javonte Williams, the kid who runs like Rock'em Sock'em Robot, does he eventually take over sooner than even I expected?
I like to think in the press conference when we're out there together and the group of us, we have a symbiotic, organic relationship that we will ask questions that matter to all of us, and we naturally follow up on one question to another, so we all work together one way or the other. That's what I'm hoping happens with the running back situation, as Pat Shurmur basically answering that question, because he was, I did ask him about, you know, the division of labor. But I suggested the word organic, and he agreed that was the right word, that it's right now sort of an organic sort of feeling, not necessarily on purpose, but it's turned out that way. I think that's the right approach. I don't think there's should be any rush to do anything more than what they're doing this entire season. I don't know why they would try to get more out of Javonte Williams than they need to. They don't have to force the issue like they've done with Christian McCaffrey, which makes me wonder how many years are the Panthers taking off Christian McCaffrey's career, by the way. There's no need to do it. Why do it? You'll have Melvin Gordon this year. You're paying him a lot of money. Let it be Zen. Let it be organic. And I think if you do that, you're going to see exactly what you have been seeing. Your thoughts?
I'm just, because of their trust in Javonte Williams in pass pro, I'm not going to be surprised if he eventually, sooner than I expected, has more carries than Melvin Gordon. But to your point, ride Melvin Gordon when you have him.
By the way, there is some great film of Javonte Williams taking on a linebacker in pass pro video that's out there that... We all love Phillip Lindsay, but that would not have been a good situation for Phillip Lindsay. We have seen that, and Javonte Williams is doing extraordinary even in that department.
I mean, Javonte Williams was a linebacker in high school for 3 years. He played high school running back 1 year.
Yep.
He loves contact. He runs with evil intentions. He likes the violence of the position. He did tell me today, though, because I said, the physicality of the position, what is it like in the NFL? Because it doesn't look like it's bothering you. And he said, I have to admit, for the first time since like my freshman year in high school, I had to get treatment because my shoulders were sore.
Mm.
He said, the league is a little different. You wouldn't know it, Javonte. And he can go still go by Pookie if you want to. We'll keep it Javonte for now. We'll keep it on the Javonte term.
Ring it, Kevin. Lamar Jackson actually had a hip issue today because he injured himself while he flipped into the end zone, and he had to sort of deal with this hip issue. Rank that with dumb injuries when you do something to yourself. I know it's not quite Gus Frerotte slamming his head into the wall in celebration, but I mean, seriously, you're having to deal with something now because you flipped into the end zone?
Remember, Dustin Moore from the Rockies strained his calf and was out like 6 weeks on a walk-off jumping over the railing and the Coors Field dugout, and you can see him limping up to home plate. He missed like 6 weeks. Completely changed the trajectory of his season. I've heard of, you know, I've had players who've coughed so hard that they pull a muscle in their rib.
That's involuntary. You didn't do that on, you didn't force yourself to cough.
I think it was at Gramatica, Automatic Gramatica.
Celebrating.
Celebrating, yeah. Blew out his knee when he jumped up and down blew out his ACL.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just being a klutz. I mean, all I thought with Lamar Jackson, if you're going to do it, complete the flip. I mean, go all the way. I mean, if you're going to do it, I mean, do a, you know, round off to a handoff to a backsplane. Backsplane, that's nothing. All right, bring it, Kevin.
Nate McKinnon got hit in the face with a puck. It's like the first day. Like, we're just, like, getting used to our equipment. Got the Hello, My Name Is badge on. Mm-hmm. First day, gets hit, stitches it up, has blood. Can we look back on this in, 7, 8 months?
Yeah.
As a symbolic moment of this team getting some toughness?
There you go.
Figuring out.
There you go.
That we've got to win in the playoffs with some bare knuckles, throw the sawdust down, and take some jabs at people?
Who's producing a t-shirt? Where's the Nathan McKinnon I bled on day one t-shirt? Yeah, man, I didn't even think of that. There you go. You think, you know, we're tough enough this year. Draw blood on McKinnon. Get some stitches. Whatever. Let's go. Day one. I love it. I'm going to put on my hockey sweater right now and just take a swing at something. Ring it, Kevin. Why the hell is our producer, Kevin Kistner, wearing a Panthers jersey right now, Troy?
I can only assume that Christian McCaffrey is on his fantasy league team.
Just a fan of Christian.
Okay, you just bought that on your own just because?
It was a Christmas present, but he's my favorite player.
I like it. I love it. I'll go there with Troy. In terms of Colorado-born players, who's better than Christian McCaffrey in the NFL right now?
Nobody. Nobody. When he's right, nobody. Because he's an MVP candidate.
Not Dalton Reisner.
I love Dalton Reisner. I have a Dalton Reisner born and raised orange and blue sweatshirt.
All right, hold on. Who's the second best? If Christian's the best, who's the second best Colorado born, not just played here, second best Colorado born player in the NFL right now?
Big defensive end.
Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell?
Oh, that's hard to argue with.
In terms of accomplishment, he would be on that short list, right? Calais Campbell?
Who else can we think of? Dalton? I mean, I guess Dalton would be in that list somewhere.
Andrew Wiggard, the kid from Dakota Ridge High School, he played for the Jaguars last week. I mean, he's not in that conversation, but he's from Colorado. He's playing safety.
What about that punter kid from who went to Alabama?
I don't even get...
J.K. Scott, right? I mean, that's pretty bad if we're going to punters, but I mean... Phil Lindsay.
But Lindsay's not better than McCaffrey.
Austin Eckler,
not better than McCaffrey.
Who's better, Lindsay or Eckler?
Eckler.
He is, isn't he?
I mean, because Eckler could legitimately catch 100 passes.
Eckler, I don't care. You know what I meant. He grew up in Colorado.
Why you got to be that guy?
Seriously, Kevin.
Why you got to be that guy?
Jeez, lighten up,
Francis. Is that a McCaffrey jersey or a Kerry Collins jersey?
Yeah, Ring it, Kevin. You got the last one.
I mean, listen, injuries happen in sports all the time.
Okay.
But, I mean, we're losing two a week for the Broncos.
Okay.
Are they to the point where we're starting to see a little bit of stretch in the elasticity here? I mean, they've overcome injuries because, you know, the schedules help.
Right.
But where is that line where, D-Mac, where you lose a couple more guys? Because last year when they lost Vaughn and Cortland, it felt like the season was over, and in reality it was.
Right.
This year they lose Darby. They lose Bradley Chubb.
Right.
You know, they lose Josie Jewell.
They're losing Judy.
They're losing Jerry Judy, which stings because he was, for me, 1,200 yards, 1,150 yards.
I thought he was going to be the offensive MVP this year.
I did, too. And where is that number? Right. Like, where all are right. we well, in terms go. Of injuries to the point where who is left that's, like, indispensable to you that if he gets hurt changes the trajectory of the season?
Right now, we're tapping into the depth.
Yeah.
So we're okay. For example, Patrick Surtain needed to play, period. So now he is. We even thought Darby or perhaps Fuller may get traded because George Payton was putting out there about teams calling him. So that's okay. Josie Jewell for Strnad and maybe Baron Browning. We forgot about the draft pick, Baron Browning. But it's going to be Strnad right now. And Browning is more, this is more of a sort of a pseudo redshirt year. There's no expectations.
And he might play outside before he plays inside, honestly, because it's way easier to play outside.
Right. That I don't know about, because they like Jewell and he was doing all right. But inevitably, Strnad was going to be asked to do something. So that feels okay, too. That feels all right. We're all right at receiver, sort of. Because as great as Jerry Jeudy is, you do have Tim Patrick, and we saw what Courtland Sutton can produce. Plus, we got 11 targets to tight ends. Between the three tight ends last week, we got 11 targets there. So we're okay there. Glasgow was replaced by Muti, although it looks like Glasgow will be all right to play. So we're okay there. So you know what we're doing? We're just tapping into the depth. Who am I missing? Am I missing anybody right there? Am I forgetting about somebody?
That would be Chubb, but it's Malik
Chubb.
Reed.
Chubb! Let's talk about Chubb. Essentially, Chubb really hasn't played yet this year.
19 plays.
And we're not necessarily... That's probably the worst one right there, Troy. At the end of the day, that's... There you go right there. That's the worst one. Because the depth there, and I love Malik Reed, and I think the Jonathan Cooper story is
fantastic.
Ridiculous. We may be okay because Chubb's productivity, a lot of it was made about how many sacks that Chubb had. You know, Chubb, like, had 3 sacks in one game and 2 sacks in another and had, like, you know, like 8 on a year or something. I mean, he had 5 in 2 games. It's like, okay, let's keep things in perspective. Still, you're not as good of a team with Chubb. That's the one that hurts. That's the one that concerns me the most. And they picked up this Aaron Patrick guy. Well, that's no replacement for Bradley Chubb. I mean, we'll see how we do for depth. The one that could really hurt us, though, in the immediate is if Tim Patrick or Courtland Sutton gets injured. We can't have that because we don't have an easy replacement for one of those two guys. We'd be in trouble if Garrett Bowles got hurt, too. We don't have a good replacement out at tackle.
Calvin Anderson's a swing tackle, but
yeah,
yes,
that'd be a pretty severe drop off. We saw, by the way, in preseason, we saw what it looked like when the number 2 offensive line was in for the number 1 offensive line. So I'll to answer your question in a very long way, I'll say that's the position we gotta not right or left tackle, especially left tackle. You?
I'd say it's Teddy Bridgewater. It's quarterback.
Oh wow. Look at Troy coming off the top rope to dump all over Drew Locke at the last second. Damn.
Not dumping on Drew. It's just some things in life fit perfectly. He is the puzzle piece, D-Mac.
Wait a second. What is the Broncos' record if Drew Locke was the starting quarterback the past 2 games?
It would be 2-0.
Okay.
But it would not be with near the optimism we have right now. Teddy has changed the vibe out there.
What? If Drew Locke was 2-0 and we're about to be 3-0 with Drew Locke...
You think Drew would have played the way Teddy's played?
We would be 2-0.
It wouldn't matter. You'd be 2-0 against 2 bad teams wondering why you won 13-10.
A ring of Kevin. Wow. You hate Drew Locke.
That is so wrong. No, I love Teddy. That's 2 different conversations. I love the way Teddy's played.
I'm teasing. This is funny on NFL Network. Who's going to win tonight? You know how we've had all these incredible primetime games? Well, that's over.
Well, this would be a great game if Deshaun Watson was playing. Can you imagine if you're a Texans player right now, D-Mac, and see him as inactive and Davis Mills trots out there? Davis Mills, he was lucky to win a Pac-12 game last year.
Yeah, but...
He was the top high school recruit in the country. What was that, like 9 years ago? Do they play high school football in the NFL? I miss that. Come on.
There he is.
Stop.
There he is.
I'm not rooting against him, but I don't want to hear the Davis Mills narrative of how he was the top high school recruit. Stop.
What is Deshaun Watson's daily life all about these days?
Like, I don't know.
The alarm goes off, and then what?
I'm sure he's conditioning, staying in shape. He has to go to the facility to get his money. He's going to get paid, what, $10 million this year, and he's due $30 million next year, I think? It's going to be interesting to see when there's some type of legal resolution, what happens next. Does the NFL then suspend him? They've not suspended him now, but they've pretty much waited to see if there's legal clarity.
Yes, that's exactly what would happen.
What team will trade for him? If I'm the Broncos, I do not. I love his game. I do not. I'm not even coming
close. How about the Eagles sort of getting their act together a little bit with Jalen Hurts and looking all right? That was one of the teams that was like, oh, yeah, you know, we'll see there. The Dolphins, Tua's out. You never know how desperate the Dolphins might be.
That would be the team. I mean, they appear poised to move on from him. It just feels like they do not trust or believe in him.
And Tua?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see them moving on from him after this year.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, no matter how much hype you get now as a college quarterback and how good you may be, what's insane is how many just young quarterbacks are coming out just every year. You just get lost in the shuffle. It's not like it used to be, because teams have learned it doesn't pay to wait.
Right.
We can't wait. Whether we should or whatever's happened in the past, because of what has happened in the past, say, 5 or 6 years, you cannot afford to wait. So you don't wait. So 4 or 5 quarterbacks, Troy, whether they deserve it or not, are just going to be taken every year. And the question you got to ask yourself, and this is what the Broncos have to ask themselves, can we seriously wait around? Oh, well, we don't really like Justin Fields or Mac Jones that much. Well, boo-hoo. You can't choose when you suck. This is it. Or nothing. Or Davis Mills.
That's why I would have set up this year with Teddy, given what we know about him now, to be the perfect mentor. He would have been the Alex Smith to Justin Fields as Patrick Mahomes.
And as we find out, Teddy Bridgewater would be, like, the perfect mentor. He would embrace it. He would be fine. By the way, you should know the relationship with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater is fantastic.
I mean, I don't know who doesn't have a fantastic relationship with Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater may be... Oh, man, I've been covering the NFL since 94. He may be the most overall popular player amongst his teammates that I've ever seen in all these years. I mean, maybe Steve Atwater's up there with it. It's like
that. Short list. Very short list.
And, you know, even guys had beef with Orton. Tons of guys had beef with Tebow. Peyton Manning was tricky. He was complicated. Everybody had respect for him, but it was like... And in the last year, when he wasn't playing all that well, he was losing people, by the way. It wasn't a slam dunk. Brian Griese had issues. Elway was probably pretty popular. I'm going to guess Elway was popular. Bubby Brister was super popular, that sort of thing. I mean, keep going. I mean, there's, you know, players talk a lot of crap about each other behind each other's back.
But Teddy's popularity resonates differently. Teddy's popularity resonates a little differently because of the way he has this personal leadership where he goes up to each guy and kind of tells him, here's what I like about you. Yeah. I want to know your family. Like, he connects in a way that's so personal that guys feel like he's one of the, like you talk about, somebody comes into the room and you have a conversation and you feel like you're their best friend, even though you might not see him again for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Teddy has that quality. Like, you, not to me as a reporter, I'm talking with his teammates when I talk to him. He makes them feel important.
Teddy's going to win Survivor, the TV show. Drew Lock's going to get voted out as soon as they realize we don't need a strong guy anymore. Teddy wins every season.
I don't know if he's devious enough, but he did say, I'll give Teddy credit.
Come on.
One of his first pressers, he said, I'm going into the jungle, and I'm coming out wearing a fur coat and a headband. He wasn't kidding.
Kevin, I love the shirt. I love Christian McCaffrey. Richie, do we love this game? Do we love this game?
I love this game a lot of different ways.
Okay. All right. And Troy, thank you, my friend. And happy travels to Longmont. We'll send a search party if you don't get there on time. We have Thursday night football. We have the Panthers. How am I doing, Kevin? Are we ready? I keep getting there. This is the weirdest thing, just to pull the curtain back a little bit, because the TV feed isn't even close to the radio feed. So it's always a quirky thing to just be done. Oh, by the way, thank you for the endless amount of recommendations for gas station sushi. I-25 in Santa Fe, apparently, Troy. I mean, if you want, I mean, it's a little out of your way, but I mean, it's kind of there. If you really want I-25, and if the sushi place is connected to the gas station, it is not gas station sushi. It wins on proximity, but we're talking about the sushi inside of the gas station store, right? It cannot just be connected. Who knows? I mean, there might be a Nobu connected to, you know, an Exxon station. Might be right there. I have no idea. How am I doing still? Really? I could go if I want. I mean, because there's nothing else to say. Except we'll be back here tomorrow to, you know, and Tyler will be back here tomorrow and blah, 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 blah. And Mike and Mark running out of steam early and often. But they're funny guys, no doubt about it. All right, we got Thursday Night Football. The Panthers and the Texans. Only a game a mother could love, and apparently it's just mothers in attendance. Right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.